This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 16th of December 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 16th of December 2022. Before introducing our readers, can I just remind you that there will be no recording of the Chronicle for the next 2 weeks. So the next recording will be on the 6th of January. So this is our last recording before Christmas. So your readers today, Nikki Baring.
Hello.
Norma York.
Hello.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. And the main headlines this week: shopping centre gets snapped up, McDonald's gets green light, and City School performs at iconic London venue. So, Nikki, maybe have the story behind the first headline, please.
Which was shopping centre gets snapped up, Brooks in huge takeover deal. Winchester's main shopping centre has been snapped up by a consortium in a huge undisclosed deal. Contracts have been exchanged for the Brooks Shopping Centre in Middlebrook Street, and completion is expected imminently. Winchester-based Gentian Developments is operating as the local lead in the consortium, which is buying the centre from Catalyst Capital. The contracts now await approval from Winchester City Council, the freeholders of the centre. Managing Director of Gentian, Nick Elkin, said, "We are delighted to be operating as the local lead for this dynamic consortium. Collectively, the group has vast experience in creating and developing desirable retail centres across the UK. We will harness this expertise to modernise and improve the Brooks Centre to make it more attractive to both retailers and customers. There are grand plans for the site and hopes that it will reinvigorate that part of the city centre. Leading the association of companies is Flowdrive, which has extensive investments and experience in the UK retail property market. The company said it looks forward to working with the City Council, which owns the freehold. Gentian is unable to reveal any more details, including costs, until the deal is confirmed. However, Gentian is a well-known name in Winchester, as it has a property investment portfolio in excess of £120 million. In the past 2 years, it has purchased a number of significant retail units in Winchester High Street. These include 126 High Street, currently leased to Mountain Warehouse, 46 High Street, currently leased to Sea Salt, 7-8 High Street, which is currently leased to Closs and Hamblin, and Rickstein Seafood Restaurant, and 28 High Street, which is currently leased by Fatface. It said the purchase of the Brooks Shopping Centre will add to its city centre regeneration portfolio. Winchester Business Improvement District Manager Sarah Davis welcomed the news. She said, "Winchester BID always welcomes investment into the city and is delighted to hear that Gentian Developments has taken lead in this local purchase. The Brooks is already a vibrant shopping centre and with the recent launch of 878 has become a destination for visitors coming to the city. By committing to the future of the centre, Gentian will hopefully help the current shops flourish and encourage new ones to open. The city's only shopping centre opened in 1990 and is currently home to shops such as Primark, TK Maxx, The Works, HMV, Waterstones, The Entertainer and 99. It also has a 350-space multi-storey car park. In recent months, the centre launched 878 AD, an Anglo-Saxon experience which people play through an augmented reality app. Play Centre Tot City also opened its doors in August this year. Other shops and units include Ballet Point, CGC Emporium, Independent Holiday Shop, Cards for Good Causes, Energy Fitness, Jazz Beauty, Moo Boo Bubble Tea, Shake Away, Mars and Turkish Style Barbers. The building has two entrances on Middlebrook Street and Upperbrook Street."
New McDonald's gets green light. Winchester is set to get its first drive-through McDonald's after plans were permitted by the City Council. The plan is for the new restaurant to be part of the Tesco's car park in Eastern Lane. The new restaurant is expected to create more than 65 new jobs, which McDonald's seeks to recruit from the local area. Currently, Winchester only has one McDonald's restaurant in St George's Street. Winchester City Council's planning committee permitted the plans unanimously, despite concern over traffic and access. The site will provide 33 parking spaces, 2 accessible spaces and 3 grill bays. There will be 4 bike stands. Andy Key and Councillor Sue Cook spoke to the committee in objection. Mr Key said, "The application undermines the council's climate change objectives. My main concern is the access road. It will see a significant increase in traffic in that area. We believe the application should be refused." Councillor Cook said, "We do welcome the employment it brings. However, we as a council have declared a climate emergency and this does not help us. I ask that the committee refuse this application." Councillor Paula Ferguson, who represents the St Bartholomew ward, said, "We recognise this provides employment for local people. Our concerns relate to transport issues, the impact it could have on significantly increased traffic. We understand that it will be open 24 hours a day, so we have concerns over the increase in nighttime traffic. Should we be encouraging this when we have declared a climate emergency?" Councillor Jane Rutter chaired the meeting in the absence of Councillor Therese Evans. Councillor Rutter said, "This is difficult because we have to decide on a planning considerations. I hope McDonald's will engage with local residents and improve the cycling and pedestrian access. Litter is not a planning consideration, so we have no power over that, unfortunately. There is also no planning reason for it not to be open 24/7. From a planning perspective, there is no reason to refuse any part of it. The plan was permitted unanimously." A McDonald's spokesperson previously said, "We can confirm that we have submitted an application for a new drive-through restaurant in Winchester, with the proposed location being the area of underutilised car park along Tesco's. We are looking forward to progressing with this application."
And excuse me. And a city school performs at an iconic London venue. A Winchester school choir recently performed at the Royal Albert Hall. Rubik's Cube, the rock choir from Osborne School, took part in the Music for Youth Proms. It was the fourth time they have performed at a London venue, the same number of times as the Beatles performed there. Rubik's Cube used Makaton sign language and signing in their performance. Musical director Ben Dugogeki said, "Rubik's Cube is such a fun experience to be part of. The energy of the young people is infectious, and the audience reaction is always incredible." Matt Hines from Music for Youth said, "We have been inundated with positive reviews and feedback, and want to say a huge thank you and congratulations to you and your group." Osborne School is a special needs school in Winchester. Rubik's Cube have been performing for more than 10 years and have over 40 members. Past performances have included playing the Children and Young People Now Awards in London, performing at the Birmingham Symphony Hall, and supporting Peter Andre at the Portsmouth Summer Show Festival. And the article is accompanied by a photograph of the kids, Rubik's Cube, standing outside the Royal Albert Hall on what looks like a glorious sunny day.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, Christian comment, letters, Chronicle comment, first person and Belgarum. So I'll start with the death announcements this week. Bentley. Diane Margaret Bentley, who died on the 24th of November, aged 86. Brixey. William James Brixey. Died peacefully on the 3rd of December, aged 93. Fenner, David Edward Fenner, died peacefully in Winchester Hospice, aged 93. Jones. Josephine Marie Jones died peacefully at Tegfield Care Home, aged 93. Luland, Norman Luland, formerly of Winchester but passed away in Brackley in Northants on the 6th of December, aged 87. Mason, Peter Kent Mason, former Winchester City Council councillor, passed away on the 3rd of December after a long hospital stay. Passy, Kev Passy, died on the 4th of December. Smith, James Smith, died on the 22nd of November in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 84. And Stevenson, Carolyn Ann Stevenson, died peacefully at home on the 1st of December, aged 80. So now may we have a Christian comment, please, Andrew.
And this week's Christian comment was written by Rosemary Baker and is entitled The Real Meaning of Christmas. I imagine that, like our families, most people have their own Christmas traditions that they remember affectionately and perhaps replicate or modify. I am the eldest of four children, and we came in two batches, the Army 2 and the Civilian Street 2. For many years, my brother and I had traditional stockings, in fact, my father's rugby socks, filled mainly with an orange, sugar mice, chocolate coins with pencils, crayons, and a rolled colouring book, and maybe a comic. 10 years or so later, the same format was followed, with more exciting gifts crammed in as well. Dad was now playing hockey, but wearing the same sort of socks. I remember the year I was moving into a flat at university. My stockings had two sorts of screwdrivers, some pliers, fuses, fuse wire, and a toilet roll. My younger siblings found it hilarious. My sister and I still have stockings, but more upmarket versions. Nativity plays are also very traditional. Not having any children and having spent my childhood abroad, I seem to have missed out on actually attending one until the time when my sister became a teacher, and I stood in for my elderly parents who lived some distance away at her first production. A parent asked me which year my child was in, and overcome with emotion, I pointed at my sister playing the piano. We all know the familiar story of Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem with Mary riding on a donkey, don't we? I recently read an article by a writer who was amazed when he was told as a teenager by a nun who was teaching him that in fact the donkey didn't exist in the gospel narratives of the birth of Jesus Christ. He argued with her, using the well-known songs about donkeys sung at Christmas time. I also remember Nina and Frederick singing Little Donkey. That dates me. I suppose that even though I couldn't remember reading about one, I hadn't actually realised either that there wasn't one. There are, in fact, other characters in the traditional story that have no biblical basis. There is no mention of oxen and no innkeeper in the Gospels. Interestingly, these tales are in fact very old and date back to the early Christians. There are various theories about why the bare facts were embellished, including the theory that the extras were symbolic with some hidden meaning. However, I don't think we need to know, because the true meaning of Christmas operates at two levels. Firstly, there is the level of tradition, the rituals and objects we associate with it. Psychologically, we hold on to these because they root us historically and give us meaning. They develop and are incorporated into our internal world as a way of defending ourselves from the chaos of the world outside. Turkey, carols, Christmas trees, and so on are comforting familiar objects and are often seen as an important aspect of Christmas. Many of these traditions are in fact relatively recent. But traditions are important because they bring us together in a shared sense of belonging. We are social animals and need to be connected to one another. Of course, on the second and deeper level, the Christmas story is one of celebration and love. Tradition may be useful psychologically, but ultimately it is fragile and finite. A Christmas based only on tradition and ritual will soon lose its meaning because tradition is easily invented and just as easily destroyed. The real meaning of Christmas is love, not donkeys or baubles. And that was written by Rosemary Baker.
Thank you, Andrew. And now we go on to letters to the editor. Nikki, I think you got the first.
And this from Anna Cromwell. Thank you. A big thank you for saving your postage stamps over the past year. Please carry on helping me support the Lullaby Trust. This charity helps research into the causes of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and also provides support for bereaved families, including their CONI, Care of Next Infant, scheme. They give it expert advice on safer baby sleep, and Little Lullaby aims to tackle high SIDS rates among young parents through peer support and reducing isolation. It can make the difference between happiness and heartbreak for countless families. Your contributions, however large or small, are welcome throughout the year and much appreciated. Please send to the address below, which is Anna Cromwell, 8 Sumner Road, Farnham, GU97JU. That's 8 Sumner Road, Farnham, GU97JU.
Remember them. In reply to Keith Webb's letter about Korea, this was interesting for me and I agree with all that he said. As a 16-year-old boy seaman aboard HMS Ceylon, we arrived at Busan in August 1950. There we disembarked the Argyll and Southern Highlanders, the first British troops to join the conflict. Sadly, the Americans bombed them with napalm, killing 17. The government wanted this to be kept a secret until the year 2025. We knew nothing of this until later in life. I think of them every Armistice Day, the bitter cold winds blowing from Manchuria and the icy seas remain with me always. July the 4th, 1952, we left Korea and headed for home. My wife and I went on one of the revisits to Korea a few years ago. The people there were kind to us, thanking me for my bit in the war and making us feel very welcome. We visited the graves and places where the battles were fought, and that was from John Wyeth, Telegraph Lane, 4 Marks.
And this letter is entitled Ticket Office Woe. I'm appalled to learn that the government and rail industry are looking to close almost 1,000 ticket offices at stations across the country. If ticket offices are closed, it will be devastating for disabled people, the elderly, people with learning difficulties, and many more people who rely on being able to speak to someone at a station in order to be able to get around. I care about this because I'm one of the lucky ones who is able-bodied and can use my mobile phone app to purchase tickets, check delays and cancellations and so on. But as a regular train user, usually from Eastleigh Station, I have seen how many elderly and or disabled people rely on ticket office services. Losing staff at stations is crucial for access to information, to waiting rooms, to facilities, and has a big impact on safety. Despite the massive implications for passengers, the government says it will not consult. I support the rail strikes, and I believe that ticket offices and station staffing need to be protected. I hope that the government will see sense. And that's from Michael Dimitriou, Pembers Hill Drive, Eastleigh.
And this from Ian Case. Nude ban mad. The report about the ARC banning nudes at Winchester Art Club's exhibition, November 24th, raises many questions, some of which are eloquently addressed by the club's president in the article. 5 years ago, I painted a portrait of a lady and had some difficulty in placing the mouth. I then recall being in Selfridges in London and seeing two Muslim ladies, perhaps in their late teens, in the makeup area. It was quiet, and they had raised their face coverings to put on makeup. They were having fun and giggling like teenagers all over the world. I smiled and found it charming, but then they saw me, and their expressions turned to scowls as they pulled down their coverings over their faces. I felt guilty for looking. I wondered whether they covered themselves through choice or through force. And if the latter, I felt for them. When I came to my difficulties with the mouth in my portrait, I recalled these ladies and simply left it unresolved, and titled the piece The Silenced Burqa Lady. I printed the explanation of how I came to do the painting and stuck it to the back of the canvas. The art group that I was with at the time was about to exhibit at Hillier's Arboretum in Ampfield, and I hung the portrait. They asked me to change the title because they thought it would offend. I refused, but I was happy to put the explanation as part of the display. They turned me down. I resigned. Too many people in today's society want to be offended. They are unable to articulate an informed discussion, and their alternative is aggression or causing embarrassment or even monetary advantage. We should stand up to it, but there's little evidence that people do so for fear of being labelled, albeit wrongly. And that's from Ian Case, Winchester Road, Ampfield.
High Street Homes. The potential plans for city flats at the rear of the High Street should be welcomed as long as attention is focused on building quality and issues such as parking, chronicled December the 8th. The current area is not exactly attractive, and appropriate construction would enhance the currently run-down area. Shops such as Phone World must not suffer any negative aspects should the plans be agreed and ultimately processed, hopefully without the usual expensive procrastination by the planning committee and the city council. Parking would be a potential issue, but many individuals living in the city may not require vehicles. The bus station is exceedingly close. Adding extra residential property would enhance an already successful high street. Let us hope such plans can proceed subject to positive consultation. And that was from Simon Lever of Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
And if I may make an editorial comment before I start, the six letters that we're having today have been really quite serious letters. And this one is in that vein. And it's titled, Not Surprised. I should not be surprised at Khalid Aziz and his article, Cutting People Some Slack. What I am dismayed about is the background behind the very unfortunate experiences of Ngozi Fulami at the Royal Reception for charities involved in supporting female victims of domestic and sexual violence. Her charity, Sister Space, had to close down after a deluge of vile antisocial media. It was doing its best to support black African and Caribbean women subject to violent domestic abuse. Between March 2021 and March 2022, Hampshire Police recorded 30,552 crimes of abuse and violent crime against women and girls. 4,761 more than the previous year. This has led to them establishing a dedicated action plan, Violence Against Women and Girls, to tackle violent men more effectively and to increase confidence by the public in their commitment to do so. This is a true reflection of an increasing national problem requiring societal change. Susan Hussey did not inquire at Ngozi Fulami about her work. She focused on aspects of her ethnicity, touching on it or touching her inappropriately. The response to this imperialist and dated behaviour came immediately from the palace itself, being explicit about how unbecoming and incongruous it was in contemporary society, and distancing the institution from Lady Hussey's words and actions. It was befitting that she chose to resign. I have no doubt Khalid would be respectful and act with dignity and politeness in such situations, as he must have done over many years. The palace were right to condemn the expression of such unpleasant and insulting attitudes to people of colour. They focused on the charities and dreadful incidents of male violence towards women and girls. It was refreshing to see that they want change. And that was written by Peter Rees of Monarch Way, Winchester.
And the final letter, Bus Stop Blues, from Tony Gaster. One of the benefits of moving to Oliver's Battery was the bus service to town. Sadly, twice in recent weeks, I've checked times online, gone to the bus stop, and seen the countdown on screen. But the bus never came. So I had to run home, get the car, to make my appointment. Not very green, Winchester. Stagecoach, you need to get your act together. And that's from Tony Gaster, Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester. And now we have a Chronicle editorial comment, please, Nikki.
Which is headed, Gentian might just inject life to Brooks. Anybody who has been Christmas shopping in Winchester this past week will be able to testify what a marvellous city centre we have. The bustling street market, the very festive and busy Christmas market. Well done, Winchester Cathedral. We'd argue the best in the UK. A great array of restaurants and watering holes, plus a nice selection of stores along the main high street. However, one thing that's always left us a little flat is the Brooks Shopping Centre. It's right in the heart of this vibrant city and also has plenty of parking spaces, albeit a little too tight at times. So why is it not packed? Where are the thronging crowds? Why do they swerve this complex? It can't be said that it lacks the big name shops. Some UK towns and cities would kill to have a Primark and or TK Maxx. But sometimes it can feel a little standard. Its offer until recently, with 878 AD and Tot City opening, easily replicated everywhere else. Perhaps it's just lacking that local touch. We look to Gentian with anticipation.
And now we have first person, please, Norma. Thank you.
Life Enriched 60 Years Ago by George Hayter. I don't believe the 1960s actually started in 1960. I think 1960, 1961 and 1962 were just more of the 1950s with Teddy Boys and Elvis. So for me, the 60th anniversary of the start of the 1960s is next year, next month in fact. It was on January the 11th, 1963, that the Beatles released Please Please Me. It took them to number one for the first time, although off-quoted record retailer placed them only at number two. After that breakthrough, the Beatles dominated culture in Britain and later the Western world. They kept their lead for the rest of the 60s. Their influence was huge in music and every aspect of life, especially for the young. I was 10 when Please Please Me came out. I followed every move made by the group, and I dreamed of meeting them. The generation gap was bigger than today, and that fueled their success. Youth culture and the failings of adults were amplified by widespread uptake of newfangled television. Peak time Saturday programmes, Jukebox Jury and Thank Your Lucky Stars, brought pop personalities into my childhood home. Subversive TV drama series like The Wednesday Play made me question old-fashioned authority. Unruly pop groups were an attractive challenge to parental discipline and social conformity. The startling creativity of John Lennon in particular widened the generation gap. The most aggravating challenge felt by adults came from part of the Beatles' body. The Beatles were the first with long hair. It was not cut to stubble at the back and the sides. For half a century before Please Please Me, all respectable men had short hair. The Beatles' example seemed fun to my generation, but to our parents, long hair on male seemed to threaten to civilization. As well as emulating Beatles' music, rival bands vied for attention by trying to outdo the Fab Four's hair in length and disorder. As teenagers, me and my friends wanted to see favourite groups play live. I never managed to see the Beatles, but I saw other bands at the Gaumont, now called the Mayflower, in Southampton. The Gaumont might have held 2,000, but attracting that many required several top acts. There were always at least half a dozen on the bill. As I remember it, so each act was allotted time for about just four songs. Audiences were tiny compared to rock shows today. Surprisingly, big stars appeared in small theatres and even university dining halls. When I saw superstar Eric Clapton at the Pavilion in Bournemouth, it was not in the big auditorium, but in the ballroom. Sound quality was usually poor. When I saw Jimi Hendrix at the Gaumont, none of us audience heard a word he sang. Roadies couldn't get his mic to work. Audiences often endure lengthy sound checks. Testing, one, two, three, and testing every drum on the kit preceded actual performance, which even then might include screeching feedback or deafening mains brr. Luckless roadies struggling with cables and plugs were part of the entertainment. Although the decade had a false start, it ended on time, with the Beatles split in 1970. I was sad. During their career, I had broadened my interest into the likes of Mail and Zappa, but my loyalty to the Beatles was stronger than ever after seeing them record All You Need Is Love in an unprecedented global TV broadcast. With the song, they introduced the worldwide audience to hippies and flower power. Although I was 15 and still at boarding school, I became a hippie at heart, and I was disappointed when the movement disappeared after 1967, Summer of Love. The Beatles had moved on. The main social activity of my friends in the 60s was visiting one another to listen to records. That passive pastime is far outdone by today's active youth, juggling apps and competing on digital games. Gigs, too, are much improved these days.
Thank you. Now, Andrew, I think you've got Belgarum.
And this week, Belgarum is also taking a trip down memory lane. And this is Tony's trip down memory lane. When last year the Friends of King Alfred Buses found that its stock of ticket rolls for its 1960s machines was running out, they struggled to find a printer to make them. FAKAB, Friends of King Alfred Buses, uses the rolls to give souvenir tickets on its free bus rides. Conductors are an important part of the historic experience for their travellers, so more ticket rolls were urgently needed. Nobody, it seemed, was able to supply these rolls with their obsolete specification until they came across Ticket Media of Hove, willing to take on the task. FOKAB needed to lay in a good stock to last a few years, so 600 rolls were needed, enough for about 10 years. So, FAKAB appealed to its members for help with the cost. There were, in fact, quite a few offers, but one member, Tony Downland, a long-term Winchester resident since 1944, offered to sponsor the whole order. Tony recently took a ride along to FOKAB's new Chesil Works, near Winchester, to inspect the new ticket rolls. The Friends provided a special transport in the form of a 1931 Dennis 18-seater, index number OU9286, to take him from his home in Kingsworthy with Chairman James Freeman at the wheel. Tony had long enjoyed an association with King Alfred Buses over the years. From the age of 16, he had joined Wolford the Builders in Bar End Road, where he was employed as a clerk for 10 years between the early 1950s and 1960. He said, "This meant I passed Chisnell's King Alfred office and garage at least four times a day on my bike, going to and from work and lunch." In 1950 to 1952, I had the pleasant task of arranging the firm's outing to Brighton or Southsea. I was involved in three outings, and I took the attached photo on an old box camera during the obligatory beer stop en route. James Freeman said, "There is nothing better than an eyewitness, so it's wonderful that Tony has been able to share some of his memories in this way, never mind sponsoring FOKAB's tickets for the next decade." And this is accompanied by some magnificent photographs. So there's a picture of Tony with James Freeman and the cardboard box full of the rolls, the ticket rolls, looking very happy. And then there's a picture of Tony beside a magnificent old 1931 Dennis 18-seater bus, which, by the way, is open-sided, so it would be rather cold on days like this. And then finally we have what looks like a very modern and futuristic 1952s bus. You forget how they looked in those days. And all of the members of Wolford staff are standing alongside it. All of them wearing suits and jackets, white shirts and ties on a staff outing. And amazing what people looked like back in those days.
Thank you. Lighting Up time ends on Friday, excuse me, 16th of December at 8:03 a.m. and begins at 3:59 p.m. Next Wednesday, the 21st of December, it ends at 8:06 a.m. and begins at 4 p.m. So if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our free recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. And this number is also on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And can I remind listeners of the existence of the Winchester Colebrook Club, which is specifically for people with sight impairment. The club meets monthly on the first Monday, except for May and January, and it's between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They meet at St Lawrence Parish Room in Colebrook Street, Winchester, and for more information, excuse me, contact Samantha Frolick, and her telephone number is 07714 004 803. That's 07714 004 803. And now we continue with further items of general news, Nikki.
And this one headed TV presenter pays a visit for Uni Talk. A full house in the auditorium of the University of Winchester West Downs Centre gathered last week to hear TV presenter Chris Packham talk about how developing a connection with nature can help improve the symptoms of a debilitating mental health conditions. Nature on my mind, the impact of nature, wildlife and caring for the environment on mental health was the first talk as patron of Winchester Youth Counselling for the naturalist TV presenter, photographer and author. The event was hosted as a partnership between the University of Winchester and Winchester Youth Counselling. The event raised £4,000, with all proceeds from ticket sales going to the charity. Erin McMurty, CEO of Winchester Youth Counselling, said, "This event was so important to us, not only to mark our first event with our new patron, but to celebrate the value of counselling and therapies to those that need it." And there are various pictures of Chris Packham with some of the students and some of the visitors who came to watch it.
Now, I don't want you to get too excited about this next article. Winchester, best city in the UK to spot Santa. Winchester has been pegged as the best city in the UK to see Father Christmas based on the amount of light pollution. As Christmas gets closer, many children across the UK will be preparing to catch a glimpse of Santa's sleigh flying over on Christmas Eve. However, according to the Campaign to Protect Rural England, 78% of the UK's night sky is polluted by light, making Father Christmas harder to see in typically more urban areas. Nevertheless, based on data from Clear It Waste Clearance, Winchester has come out on top for where's the best to spot Santa, beating all others in the UK city. Second was Chichester, with a score of 9.03 due to a slightly lower artificial brightness rating. Meanwhile, bottom of the list at number 50 was London with a score of 0.37 out of 10. The list of cities were taken from Government UK with measurements being made from the centre of each location, and all data was completed on November the 22nd, 2022. So you'll be able to see Santa if you're still awake.
And following that, we're going to lower our sights from looking up to the skies to looking down to the ground. There's a pensioner still waiting to see a drain hazard fixed. A row, a broken drain cover, has left a Winchester pensioner feeling frustrated. David Sanders, a 90-year-old resident, said that the drain outside his house in St. Thomas Passage was cracked by a car driving over it in November. Since then, he's been battling to get someone to take responsibility for the drain and fix the damage before someone gets hurt or a vehicle is damaged. He said, "What bothers me the most is that it's a safety hazard. The street is often busy during the day and also at night, and in the dark, anyone could easily be hurt. A young girl was walking down with her friends and got her foot stuck in the hole." Mr. Sansa says he's been given the runaround by Hampshire County Council's Hampshire Highways and Southern Water. Mr. Sanders first contacted Hampshire Highways, and its team assessed the issue and insisted that they were not responsible for it. The authority claims that Southern Water is responsible for the issue. However, Southern Water has said it's investigated and it's not one of their drains. The Southern Water spokesman said, "We have investigated the address and there are no issues with the sewers and drains listed on our systems. We are currently liaising further with Highways, but flooding is a complex issue and one that requires a multi-agency response." Meanwhile, Mr. Sons is left exasperated, leaving him no choice but to turn to the Hampshire Chronicle for help in highlighting the farce. He hopes that making the issue public will prompt someone to step up and take responsibility. He said, "The hole needs a new cover to be fitted, that's all. Then it would be safe." However, after being contacted by the Chronicle, Hampshire County Council issued a statement, another statement. They said, "Hampshire County Council can confirm that it is a cover over a stopcock that is missing, and that our Highways team have issued an urgent notice to Southern Water for them to replace it. We have been advised by Southern Water that when they attended to replace the cover, they discovered that internal sections of the supporting frame were damaged, so the new cover couldn't be properly secured. It is understood that they're arranging to fit a new frame and cover at the earliest opportunity." And you can perhaps see why David Saunders is somewhat exasperated.
Winchester welcomes Taste of Greece. After weeks of delays, Winchester now has a Greek restaurant. Yayas, I'm going to spell that, Y-I-A-Y-I-A-S, Yayas, Greek and Cypriot kitchen, was first established at the Fox Pub in Farnham back in 2018. Located at 56 St George's Street, Greek Cypriot cuisine, including flatbreads, kebabs, small plates, platters, seafood, salads and skewers, is now being served from midday 7 days a week. The name Yayas is taken from the Greek word for grandmas, representing where owner Paul Pyrgoudis found his inspiration for cooking. Manager Marco Spasic, or Spasic, said to finally open is a great feeling. We're delighted to be here and bring new taste into the city. All the food is freshly made on site, and we're sure there's a gap in Winchester for Yayas. The restaurant is set to have up to 10 staff members and is currently considering applications. Despite the cost of living crisis, manager Marco remains unfazed and said the prices will be kept popular for the Winchester market. Mr. Pyrgoudis bought the premises in March when Tom Romita was looking to retire after running Tom's Deli in St. George's Street for more than 30 years. The manager said, "We're very excited to be taking over from Tom. We've heard loads of great stories that we're bringing in. What we're bringing in a way, is similar to Tom, but at the same time, very different."
Ukrainian guests perform a carol celebration. The city's final Ukrainian support hub of the year took place on December the 6th, featuring a festive performance by the choir made up of guests to the city. Leaders of Winchester City Council, Councillor Martin Todd, joined council staff for the performance by Kalinia, a choir formed by the Ukrainian guests in Winchester District. The choir, named after the Ukrainian word for a guelder rose, a national symbol of Ukraine, is currently raising money to buy traditional Ukrainian costumes for future performances. And there's a lovely picture of obviously the councillors and a lady dressed as Lady Christmas, and the Ukrainians have got these amazing headdresses that looks like real flowers on their heads. Really pretty. And there's quite a few of them. It's lovely.
The city centre air quality shows improvement, which is better than the squeaky chair that I've got. The air that people breathe in Winchester city centre is getting cleaner, a meeting heard. The drop in traffic in lockdown has been a major factor, but the improvement has been maintained since restrictions eased, and traffic, the main polluter, returned to near normal. The city centre has been an air quality management area since 2003, after concerns that it was among the most polluted places in Hampshire, with heavy traffic in a congested area. David Ingram, head of environmental health and licensing at the City Council, said air quality has improved since 2003. Levels of nitrogen oxide has fallen in the COVID year lockdown period, and the drop continued into 2021 and 2022. He said, "This is good news and has surprised us. We thought there would be a more rapid increase back to pre-pandemic levels." Mr. Ingram, speaking at the Health and Environmental Policy Committee, said the focus would switch to countering particulate pollution, often from diesel engines. Nitrogen oxide levels were within current legal levels, but PM pollution was still above World Health Organization limits, said Mr. Ingram. The council has two monitoring stations in St. George's Street and Romsey Road. Pollution had improved in St. George's Street, but levels in Romsey Road were still high at 38 micrograms per cubic meter, which is close to the WHO limit of 40. The worst affected area outside the city centre is Martha Worthy Road near the Cart and Horses Junction in Kingsworthy, where it's 25 micrograms per cubic meter. Mr. Ingram said more work needed to be done to achieve all WHO targets. Now, one idea would be to limit lorries to certain times of day. Another was to introduce electric buses on the park and ride services. Councillor Jackie Porter, Cabinet Member for Place and Local Plan, said more electric vehicles were being introduced, with the ambulance service and the waste collection companies investigating options. As well as more electric vehicles, another reason for the air improvement was the change in work practices, with more people working from home and changes to the rush hour. Councillor Porter said the peak time is more spread out. People are going to work, but over a longer period of time. She said the council was committed to further action. We are never going to cease until we get down to as low a level as we can.
Photographer honoured for contribution to charity. A photographer from Stockbridge has been recognised by a national charity for his commitment to supporting people affected by Parkinson's. Parkinson's UK volunteer John Bolton was honoured at the charity's annual volunteering awards after more than 6 years of photographing fundraising walks in the New Forest and Welford. He began volunteering after his father was diagnosed with a neurological condition which can cause symptoms such as uncontrollable movements. John and his family found Parkinson's UK resources helpful in helping them understand and manage his dad's symptoms. Regional fundraiser Katie Slade said, "John's photos capture the spirit of our supporters, staff and volunteers and the fun and commitment everyone brings to fundraising events. Last year, John travelled at his own expense to cover our Oxford walk. Supporters loved his quality pictures, which were a great memento of their special day. He's a firm fixture at our local walks, and we couldn't manage without him. His photos appear on Parkinson's UK web pages, posters, emails and press releases, and show our walkers striding forward with determination, power and purpose." On receiving the award, the photographer said, "Volunteering with the charity in a role that I was familiar with seemed the best way that I could offer my personal support to others in the same situation. I've met some fantastic people over the years, including four generations of one family that united to complete a Walk for Parkinson's event for their loved one. Photographing memories like these is particularly rewarding and motivating. Winning this award was a total surprise and completely unexpected," John added. "With so many other deserving volunteers, I was humbled to even be nominated. Winning is the icing on the cake." Parkinson UK's Emma Cooper said, "Volunteers are at the heart of everything we do across all areas of the charity's work. We had almost 100 nominations this year, which shows how creative, driven and vital volunteers are to the Parkinson's community. I'd like to thank John for everything he does in his own time to support people affected by Parkinson's. The charity, founded in 1969, aims to support people suffering with Parkinson's through advice, friendship groups and a forum. Funding goes towards research to help find a cure and deliver better treatments. For more information, go to parkinsons.org.uk." And it's a lovely photograph, one of John's pictures, showing three of the walking volunteers, one small child and two grown men, all grinning madly in the frame.
Discount on water bills. A water company is providing a £98 million package of support for customers to combat the cost of living crisis. Southern Water is boosting its minimum discount on bills by more than double, while adding 21,000 households to the current 104,000 homes, which are offered at a lower price. The minimum discount will be increased from 20 to 45% to help customers achieve an average annual saving of £200 on a dual service bill. Those in great need of financial support across Hampshire could access bill discounts of up to 90%. Chief Customer Officer Katie Taylor said, "As water is an essential service that people cannot live without, we believe that it is critical that we support thousands of vulnerable households in our region who need a break. This winter, the company is also giving out 20 community centre energy grants of £1,000 each to ensure community hubs and spaces can stay open and warm. Additionally, Southern Water teams are working closely with organisations combating financial hardship, such as regional Citizens of Ice hubs, job centres and food banks, by running face-to-face support surgeries with customers. Bill discounts will be automatically applied to essential tariff customers by April 2023. For more on discount eligibility, community grants and further support from Southern Water, go to southernwater.co.uk/account/what-if-I-can't-t-pay-my-bill. That is incredibly difficult to remember, so I will repeat it, hopefully slowly. Southernwater, or one word, .co.uk/account/what-if-I-can't-t-pay-my-bill.
And this article should perhaps be accompanied by an advance warning for anybody who's got young children. The Santa Run total. More than £30,000 was raised by a good cause by running 70 Santas running through the streets of Winchester. Naomi House and Jack's Place held its 14th annual Santa Fun Run on Sunday, December the 4th, with participants dressing as Father Christmas to run 5K. With donations still coming in, the charity is hoping to raise more than £30,000. Senior events fundraiser Charlotte Patrick said, "It was brilliant to see so many people get involved in a fun, colourful and festive challenge to raise money for their local hospices for children and young adults."
Bubbling ambience in queue for new tea shop. Scores of people queued along the high street to get a taste of Winchester's newest bubble tea business. Cup, C-U-P-P, Bubble Tea opened its doors to Winchester last Friday, December the 9th, offering a free drink to the first 100 customers and 50% off all day. Franchisees Roberta Herridge and Keith Mabuto said there's nothing like Cup on the high street, with the UK bubble tea brand offering a healthier alternative made from natural ingredients. The pair both previously worked for the NHS in the mental health sector before opening their first Cup store in Salisbury in October 2021, after COVID struck and sparked an ambition for a career change. Roberta, 36, said, "We knew we wanted to launch a bubble tea business, and we fell in love with Cup at first sight. Our personal values align with the business, as it uses natural ingredients of real fruit, organic milk, home syrups, and loose leaf tea." The couple was supported by one of Cup's founders and managing director, Angerid Jackson. She said, "We've had a really good response in social media. People are always excited to see Cup opening in a new location. It should be a premium brand on the high street and fit in with all the lovely brands here." Peter Simmons students were quick to join the queue while on their free period. Student Josh Maidment said, "We've heard about it before. We keep seeing the free signs and we like bubble tea, so decided to come along." When asked how they'd describe the drink nicknamed the drink you can chew, Josh's friends, Kerry, Holly and Megan, said it's fruity with balls and that it grows on you. The franchisees are hoping to employ one or two more full-time staff members, with a current staff force of 12. As the pair's second location, they're optimistic they can make it work despite the cost of living situation. Cup is open for a drink, in and takeaway every day from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. at 98 High Street in Winchester. Delivery is also available via Deliveroo and Uber Eats. Cup, founded in 2012, currently has more than 22 stores across the UK after franchising in 2020. For more, go to cupbubbletea.co.uk, and there are pictures of Roberta and Keith outside Cup with its dark blue, sort of grey frontage, and various students from Peter Simmons collecting their cheaper tea.
Inspection raises care home concern. A care home in Compton has been told that it requires improvement due to concerns of safety and record keeping in the recent inspection. The Care Quality Commission, CQC, inspected Compton House, part of the Choice Care Group, and found that it had problems with management and safety and hasn't made enough progress since the last inspection. Despite this, the report said that residents were happy while relatives trusted they were safe. The care body also said appropriate systems were in place to protect people from abuse, and staff confirmed that they were confident in taking the appropriate action if they had any concerns. The report published on November the 23rd said quality assurance processes are not always effective. While the registered manager was responsive and took action to address concerns when highlighted, we were concerned the provider's systems and processes were not sufficiently robust. The provider had not always sufficiently investigated incidents to prevent reoccurrences. The provider had not ensured records relating to the management of the home had always been completed or were accurate. The registered manager and provider responded immediately during and after the inspection. The registered manager developed an action plan with realistic timescales to address the shortfalls identified. Issues with staffing were also identified. The failure of provider to obtain a full employment history of staff is a breach of Health and Social Care Act 2008. The care body inspected the out-of-hours service unannounced in response to concerns about unsafe staffing levels. The report read, "We observe safe staffing levels and staff appeared unhurried and available to meet people's support needs. However, there was a reliance on agency staff, and during inspection, some newer agency staff were not familiar with people or the service. The provider was open about the challenges of recruitment and shared the initiatives they had implemented to recruit more staff." The report concluded, "We have identified a breach in relation to recruitment of staff and continued breach in relation to the governance of this inspection. The CQC has requested an action plan from Compton House on how it will improve the standards of quality and safety, and the care inspectors will continue to monitor progress."
Hospital warning. Hampshire hospitals have been experiencing extremely busy times in their emergency departments. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, which covers Andover War Memorial Hospital, Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital, and the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, have urged people to only contact 999 in an emergency. In a Facebook post, the Trust said, "Our emergency departments are extremely busy at the moment. If you attend our emergency departments for a non-urgent issue, you may experience delays. If you need medical care, please consider which service is best for your needs. If you're unsure, you can access instant medical advice via 111 or nhs.uk. Always call 999 in a serious medical emergency." This comes, as Health Secretary Steve Barclay said, "there is still a question over whether ambulance services will cover all emergency call-outs during strikes." Unions have said they will respond to life-threatening incidents, known as a Category 1 call, when they strike on December the 21st in a row over pay. The GMB, Unison and Unite are coordinating industrial action across England and Wales after accusing the government of ignoring pleas for a decent wage rise. Mr. Barclay said, "Officials plan to meet on Thursday to discuss coverage of Category 2 call-outs, which cover heart attacks, strokes, epilepsy and burns. GMB representatives are set to meet individual trusts to discuss requirements for life and limb cover."
Our city. A leading charity has launched an initiative offering warm spaces to people struggling to heat their homes this winter. Hampshire not-for-profit Community First is offering its warm hubs, which sees libraries and community centres open up for people to come inside for a hot drink or a meal. Community First has helped launch and promote several warm hubs across Winchester, the New Forest, Fareham, East Hampshire and Havant. Some are open to anyone who would like a hot meal and drink, to participate in activities, games, clubs and classes, or read a book. There is also free Wi-Fi. People will also be able to benefit from energy advice and take away free energy packs to some of the sites. Tim Horton, CEO at Community First, said, "We believe everyone should have a warm and welcoming space to go to this winter, which is why our network of community organisations, churches, libraries, businesses and other groups across the region have opened their doors to provide exactly that. Community First is also signposting people to other cost of living support schemes in Hampshire and information on how to set up a warm space in your community. The full list of warm hubs in Winchester are Hope Church, Winchester, Winchester Library, Winchester Vineyard Church, All Saints Church, St. Paul's Church, New Life Church, Winchester, St. Barnabas Church, and St. Mark's Church.
Second highest for cycling casualties. Hampshire County Council has responded to recent data, placing the area as the second worst for cycling accidents in the UK since 2012. Hampshire came second only to Surrey, with a total of 4,145 casualties accumulated over the past 10 years. However, the council has emphasised that the county is proportionately large and the authority is continuing to prioritise road safety. While Hampshire fared poorly within the last 10 years, the county did move down the table to fifth for the top 10 worst locations for 2021, as researched by the company GTSE. The data showed that 7% decrease in accidents from 376 in 2020 to 350 in 2021. The council's executive lead member for transport and the environment strategy, Councillor Edward Heron, said, "Any accident occurring on Hampshire's roads network is a concern to the county council, and the figures quoted must be taken into context. We have seen significant increases in the numbers of cyclists in Hampshire in recent years. For a number of years, the council has prioritised road safety education and also safety measures, particularly where there is evidence that they will reduce casualties. This focus has historically served Hampshire well, with generally declining trend in the numbers of people killed or seriously injured on Hampshire roads."
School exchanges gifts with the care home. A primary school in Otterbourne recently exchanged Christmas presents with a nearby care home. Children and teachers at Otterbourne Church of England Primary School visited Brendan Care Otterbourne Hill Nursing Home on December the 7th. Head teacher Martin Garrity presented their gifts to Charlotte Criter, Brendan Care Otterbourne Hill's general manager. They were accompanied by class teacher Zoe Simpson and children Bethany and Stephen, both aged 9, and residents Roy, Tom and Carol. The Year 5 children had worked hard to create gifts such as an advent calendar, hand-painted tree decorations made from salt dough, and a box filled with other homemade items such as snow globes and joke books. Children aged 4 to 11 from across the school also made festive pictures to brighten the walls of the nursing home over the Christmas period. Stefan had made a jolly Father Christmas, much of it in his spare time, which he gave to Roy. The school also handed over 2 hampers donated by Carabella Gifts, which is full of edible Christmas products. In exchange, the residents made the children a forest of Christmas trees to decorate the school and a frieze of hand-painted turkeys. Martin said, "What a wonderful thing to be part of this time of year. Hopefully, we will be the start of a continuing relationship between the school and Otterbourne Hill." Charlotte said, "We are all very grateful to the school for coming up with this fantastic idea. It is an absolute delight for our residents and colleagues to meet the children and their teachers, and we cannot wait to see them back here again for more joint activities." And this is accompanied by a photograph of the children and teachers from Otterbourne Church of England Primary School exchanging the gifts with the residents and staff at Brendan Care Otterbourne Hill Nursing Home.
Work on the weirs resumes after delays. Work to place more fencing along the River Itchen in Winchester has now resumed after months of delays. The restoration work along the weirs started in back 2020 and was due for completion in early 2021 at a total cost of £275,000. However, COVID and the need to restore the wall and place more fencing on the riverside pathway extended the project. In July, Winchester City Council said that the work would complete by autumn. The workers moved up the river at the High Street end by the Bishop on the Bridge pub, with workers starting last week. A spokesman for Winchester City Council said, "We anticipate that all works will be completed by Christmas." And there's a lovely photograph of the river, very full, I have to look, really herring along, and some really extremely high fencing, I suppose, until they put the new proper one up. It's a really beautiful corner of Winchester.
Baby Thomas centre stage at Christmas show. A real baby added to the Christmas joy at the Boaz Project Carol Concert stage in a historic barn. Described as a cross between Panto and the Nativity, and performed by members of the Sheltered Farm Scheme for Adults with Learning Disabilities, the story transported audiences to Hemmed Inn as Mary and Joseph came looking for shelter one bleak December night. 4-month-old Thomas was cast as baby Jesus in his first starring role. His mother, Kirsty, was among volunteers in the supporting cast. Like all the best nativities, there were a few missed cues and unscripted bits. Skye, one of Burrs's resident donkeys, hee-hawed along to Bart and Stacey's choral choir sang Dominic the Donkey, making the audience laugh. Real sheep and pantomime camel added to the atmosphere. It was lovely. Every year is different. Every year it's chaos. And every year it's special. No better start to Christmas, said volunteer Linda. Andover Salvation Army brass band hit all the right notes while the Reverend John O. Harvey gave a lively talk on the meaning of Christmas. And there's a lovely picture of little Thomas looking very intent on the manger and have everybody around him.
A Tale of Two Cities as Festive Lights Go on the Blink. Part of the High Street was plunged into festive gloom last week. Excuse me. The white lights between Market Lane and the Broadway were all off last Monday and Tuesday. That contrasted with the decorations along the High Street west of the junction of Market Lane and Upper Brook Street, which bathed shops and shoppers in bright light. Looking the other way, it appeared gloomy in comparison down towards the Guildhall. The reason for the malfunction was unclear. The problem was fixed overnight Tuesday by Business Improvement District, which pays for the illuminations. Some late-evening shoppers were not impressed. Gail Williamson, 43, from the Isle of Wight, said, "I'm told by a girl in a shop that they weren't working yesterday either. Someone needs to fix it quick." The problem has been reported by people on social media. Nicholas Youngs on Winchester Picks Facebook page said, "Walked up High Street in Winchester this evening. Half the lights aren't working. Very poor for Winchester this year." Winchester, largely white decorations divide opinion. Many people like the simplicity, but others find them boring. Richard Dominey said on the Winchester Picks Facebook page, "It's always poor, not a coloured light in sight. Christmas is coloured light." And if I can add an editorial comment, I thought it all looked rather pretty down there when I've walked down there, and I rather like the lights in Winchester. However, this is accompanied by a couple of photographs, one showing the lights working in one direction and the other showing the lights not working in the other direction.
Bright lights too. Key role in Royal Prize. A Winchester man has helped his company win a prize for its work towards addressing the climate emergency as announced by Prince William. Jörg Matter from Week played a key role in supporting the company, 44.01, win the 2022 Earthshot Prize in the Fix Our Climate category. The company, named after the molecular mass of carbon dioxide, CO2, was awarded by Prince William for its work eliminating CO2 by turning it into rock, and will receive a £1 million cash prize. The Prince of Wales founded the Earthshot Prize with the Royal Foundation in 2020 and announced this year's winners at a ceremony in Boston in the US on Friday, December the 2nd. Jörg is a professor of geoengineering and carbon management at the University of Southampton and sits on the scientific committee of 44.01. Professor Matter's work with his team of 10 at the University of Southampton's School of Ocean and Earth Science involves developing methods for removing CO2 from the atmosphere and disposing of it via enhanced weathering and mineralisation. Juerg said, "We are delighted to have been recognised by the Earthshot Prize. Winning is a recognition of my research for the past 15 years and the impactful and hard work we are doing at 44.01 to implement our solution to tackle climate change." Removing CO2 from the atmosphere will be critical if we are to avoid the most disastrous effects of climate change. We believe peridotite mineralisation can offer a safe, permanent, cost-effective means of eliminating CO2 once it has been captured. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far, and we look forward to working with Earthshot to scale our technology internationally. The prize was judged by an international council, including leaders from the fields of business, philanthropy, science and entertainment. The panel looked for tested, scalable solutions that can help repair the climate and prevent further harm. 44.01 aims to mineralise 1 billion tonnes of CO2 by 2040. As the world transitions to clean forms of energy, 44.01 is also providing new employment opportunities for engineers and geologists working in the fossil fuel industry.
Santa and carol singers do the rounds of city pubs. A charity in Winnell that uses music to help vulnerable people is fundraising in the run-up to Christmas by teaming up with Santa and the carol singing in Winchester pubs. Key Changes Music Therapy is hoping to raise public awareness and more than £500 with its festive events to help improve people's emotional well-being through music therapy. On Monday, December the 19th, therapists from the charity will be singing carols in pubs across the city centre with the help of friends and supporters. Music begins at the Old Vine at 6:30 p.m. and finishes at the Bishop on the Bridge at 9:30 p.m. with the Wickham Arms, the Queen's Inn and the Black Boy in between. Key Changes said it is thrilled to be bringing back its annual tradition. Therapy coordinator Becky Reed said, "Music therapy reaches some of the most vulnerable people in society, from early years centres, children with autism, refugees fleeing conflict, to adults with mental health needs and older people affected by dementia, and those whose ability to relate to others is extremely limited. Our mission is to help improve their emotional well-being. Using music can open the door to relating. Whatever funds we raise will help us to extend the therapy we provide. While the need for funds is serious and fundraising will be fun, with two great events on the calendar." And there's a picture of Santa's sledge, which is Winchester's round table sledge, and carol singing in the pubs, including the Wickham Arms.
And continuing that theme of the sleigh taking off, a sleigh is travelling through a different part of Winchester each evening to raise money for local charities and spread the Christmas cheer. Winchester Roundtable began its annual Santa sleigh ride on December the 1st and will continue visiting new areas before finishing in Worthydown on December the 19th. Each night, fundraising goes towards a different charity. And with more than 150 volunteers from around 15 charities, such as the school PTAs, community centres and Girl Guiding Winchester taking part. The event, put on by the Community for the Community, starts its route at 6 p.m. and finishes at 8 p.m. Where will the Winchester Santa sleigh be next? Well, some of these have already gone, but yesterday, Thursday, we had the charity in collecting for All Saints Preschool and Key Changes Music Therapy, and that was in Winnall. Friday the 16th, they'll be in Highcliffe, and the charity collecting will be All Saints Preschool. On Sunday, December the 18th, they'll be in South Wanston, and the charity collecting is the WYCFC, which is a Ministry of Defence fund. And Monday, December the 19th, they'll be in Worthydown, And again, the charity collecting will be the Ministry of Defence. But for more information, go to santaslay.co.uk.
Bagpipes treat at care home. A resident at a Winchester dementia care home checked off a wish on her bucket list with the help of staff who brought Scotland to her. Maura Pullen, 85, told carers at Colton Cares St Catherine's View that she would love to go to Scotland. So staff from the dementia care home in Stanmore took the wish into their own hands by putting on a day of all things Scottish, topped off with a visit from a London bagpiper. As a young girl, Maura spent many happy days playing outdoors while visiting an aunt and uncle living in the Highlands. Companionship team member Imi Fletcher said, Maura has very fond memories of holidays there every summer and told us of her wish to take a trip once again. Unfortunately, a flight to Edinburgh and travel to the Highlands would be a bit too much for Maura now, so we decided to bring Scotland to her. The event, which coincided with St Andrew's Day, began with Scottish decorations such as bunting and cakes topped with the Saltire flags. Residents and staff then moved on to colouring in pictures of Scottish flags and bagpipers to stick them onto the windows and in the lounge. But the main event was a visit from professional bagpiper Cliff Hall, pipe sergeant of the City of London Pipe Band from Twickenham. Imi said he came in full dress and played some traditional Scottish music that we all recognised and could tap our feet along to. Maura was absolutely delighted and especially enjoyed having her photo taken with him. The visit also brought back lovely memories for another St Catherine's View resident who grew up in Glasgow and went to university there. She said, as a fellow Scot, it was lovely to hear the bagpipes and some traditional music that I remember so well. And there's a lovely picture of Maura and the bagpiper Cliff in that amazing outfit with the kilt and the sporran and the short jacket with the studs, the silver buttons. I mean, it's magnificent, actually.
Ex-Saints manager lights up Stockbridge. The Christmas light switch on in Stockbridge attracted a crowd of several hundred. The event on December the 3rd was compared by Kim Candler, chairman of the town hall. The organising committee was hosted before the ceremony at Prego Dell on the High Street, with notable attendees including Caroline Noakes, MP, Jim Davidson and Laurie McMenemy. Laurie was assisted in switching on the lights by the Stockbridge Football Club life president, Dave Webb, who had over 65 years of service to the club. Laurie quipped that he was hoping that, having met Dave, he might be in the running for the manager's job. Immediately after the ceremony, the reception was held at the town hall for the present and past players of Stockbridge Football Club. And there's a couple of pictures. There's Laurie McMenemy in Stockbridge with trees behind. And then there is a picture for him switching on the Christmas lights.
Boys are rock stars for the day. A group of boys from a local hospice got the chance to become rock stars for the day thanks to a visit from a music school. Rock Steady recently visited Naomi House and Jack's Place in Sutton Scotney near Winchester and voluntarily hosted a session with a group of boys who regularly visit the hospices. Four representatives from the rock school, Richard, Tracy, Amy and Amy, spent the morning with the boys in the hospice music room, teaching them how to play together as a band. The boys had the opportunity to have a go on the instruments they wanted to learn, including drums, guitar, bass guitar, and the keyboard. The end result was a performance to family members and staff of Queen's We Will Rock You and the White Stripes hit Seven Nation Army. Jenny Astle, who works in Naomi House and Jack's Place, family support team and organised the session, said, "It's important for the boys to take part in events like this as it allows them to recognise what's possible. Taking part as a group alongside people who have similar conditions and who experience similar situations removes a barrier for the boys and allows them to feel a bit more relaxed, at ease and more comfortable to do things they might not otherwise have thought they'd be able to do. It was brilliant to see their confidence growing throughout the morning, and as well as witnessing their sense of pride after the final performance. I'd like to say a huge thank you to Richard and the team from Rocksteady's Music School for your time and efforts today, and we look forward to working with you more in the future. Richard Busby, head of curriculum teaching standards at Rocksteady Music School, ran the session and said, "It's important to us to empower as many kids as possible with music, no matter their ability. Music can reach everyone, and we just tailor our teaching methods to suit each individual's needs. It was lots of fun. It was very rewarding to see young people who didn't have a lot of confidence at the beginning completely come out of themselves as the morning went on and shine during the final performance. Thank you for having us, and we very much look forward to coming back again." Rocksteady is a nationwide music school that hosts in-school peripatetic tuition music sessions that make music fun and give children the chance to be in a band, perform songs, and learn life skills. And to find out more, visit rocksteadymusicschools.com. Naomi House and Jack's Place are hospices supporting life-limited and life-threatened children and young adults from Hampshire and the surrounding counties. And this article is accompanied by a number of pictures, and all the young boys are really having fun, playing either guitars, keyboard. There's a boy here beating out some music on an electric drum kit, which looks great. And then, of course, you've got the team from the music school themselves. So I suppose they were teenagers with their leader helping out at the school. An excellent occasion.
Training to help the lonely. NHS receptionists in Hampshire have received first-of-a-kind training that will enable them to support patients presenting signs of loneliness in a bid to ease pressure on the health service. NHS Property Services have set out receptionist training in partnership with Campaign to End Loneliness, which is aimed to combat loneliness after nearly one in five people in Hampshire reported feeling lonely during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hilary Stables, Chief People Officer, NHS Property Services, said, "Our receptionists are the first port of call of people accessing medical services and are therefore in a prime position to make a difference."
Thank you. That concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts this week and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. It just remains for all of us at Winchester Talking Newspaper to wish you all a very enjoyable Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. So it's goodbye from our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
Norma York.
Goodbye. Happy Christmas.
And Andrew Parkinson.
Goodbye. Happy Christmas.
And from me, Keith Vinson, happy Christmas. Goodbye. And do have a wonderful festive period. And when you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. And a final reminder that the next recording will not now be sent out until the 6th of January. So, Happy New Year, and thank you.
Happy Christmas!